I want to share with you just for a few minutes this morning around the theme that we've just explored in that song and that mime, and that is Behold the Lamb and what that really means. Last weekend was Palm Sunday, and I taught a message here at Bayside Church called The Unexpected Messiah. We looked at the first Palm Sunday where Jesus made a statement that was to be very unexpected. You see, the people of his day, they were expecting a Messiah. They were expecting a Savior, a Deliverer, but he didn't come in the package that they were expecting. They were expecting someone to lead at least a military campaign, and if that were the case, Jesus would have ridden into Jerusalem on horses and with chariots and made a military statement, but he didn't do that. Second best for the people of the day would have been at least some sort of political statement, in which case he would have ridden into Jerusalem on an adult donkey. But we read in the scripture that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, a baby donkey. Now, I want to emphasize today, because I get this kind of picture in my mind, and I'm sure you do too, a little animal and this adult riding on him. And for those of us who are animal lovers in this place today, sort of thinking, my goodness, that was a bit of a cruel act. But Jesus would do nothing so foolish. And so I'm sure that young animal, as young as it was still of a size that was able to bear his weight. But he was still making a statement. I am not the Messiah you are expecting. I'm coming to do something far different. And as I shared last weekend, and the message is on our website if you want to watch it or have a listen to it, what Jesus came to do and to bring was freedom from the inside out. Because we can be in a free country but still in slavery. And we hear on the news and we see in our streets day to day people that are bound up with various things, with various habits, even though they live in a beautiful free country like Australia. Jesus didn't teach and behave like people expected him to. He was the unexpected Messiah. The first act that he did when he got into Jerusalem was to go into the temple courts and to make a whip and to drive people out of the temple courts and to set the sacrificial animals free and to tip over tables with money crashing everywhere. And he quoted from Isaiah chapter 56, which basically rebukes the nation of Israel for keeping people out of God's presence. The temple structure of the day was set up in such a way that only Jewish men were allowed to go really into the presence of God. Women were kind of kept to an outer court, and so were the non-Jews, the people of other nations. And Jesus goes in there and makes a statement that breaks down the religious barriers of his day and says, everyone is now welcome in. I find it very sad that still some churches are erecting walls instead of building bridges with people. Jesus came to reach out to the marginalized of society, and despite their economic, racial, or gender background, he welcomes people in. Good Friday teaches a similar message. The people were looking for a Messiah, a leader, a king, a prophet, or a great warrior, but Jesus was introduced as a lamb. Let's read in the scriptures today from John chapter 1, verses 19 to 26. You can follow it in your Bible, but we'll also put these verses on the screens for you. John 1, 19 to 26. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, and I want to make a point here, in the original language, when it talks about Jewish leaders, the inference is those who were against John the Baptist. And so they were sending people to check John the Baptist out in order to trap him and to trip him up. The Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but freely confessed, I am not the Messiah. And immediately I hear the words of Monty Python. I am not the Messiah. I am just a very naughty boy. They asked him, who then are you? Are you Elijah? He goes, I'm not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. Now the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said these immortal words, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was the first identification of Jesus as the Messiah and the symbolism of a lamb, of all the animals that he could have used. You see, if they was expecting the Messiah to come as a military official, or at least a political official, they wouldn't have used lamb as the symbol. They would have used lion. Now, there's a wonderful prophecy at the end of the book, at the end of the Bible, where it talks about Jesus being the lion. Next time he comes at his second coming, he will be coming as the lion and not the lamb, and then will be ushered in to an eternal kingdom where the Bible says it is such a peaceful place that the lion and the lamb will lie down together. I heard of a story of a number of people who went to Israel to do a tour, and part of their tour included a visit to the Jerusalem Zoo. And so they have a tour guide and he's taking them around the Jerusalem Zoo, and they get to this one cage and they find it absolutely fascinating because inside the cage, a lion and a lamb are literally lying down together. Everyone's amazed and they're looking at this and they're going, this is amazing. We've read in the Bible that this will happen, and here it really is. How does this happen? And the tour guy said, all we need is a new lamb every day. Some of you thought I was telling a real story there. I heard people go, wow, this is amazing. So Jesus will come as a lion, but he was introduced as a lamb. What did John mean by calling Jesus the Lamb of God? What did people in John's day think when they heard the word lamb? What do you think when I say the word lamb? I think of a couple of things. I think of petting zoo, first of all. Petting zoo. When those, you know, when I take Trinity, our 9-year-old, almost our 10-year-old, to go to a petting zoo, and I love going in there with her and enjoy, you know, cuddling all the little animals and all of that. And there's normally a little lamb there and you get to stroke it and all of that. I heard of a guy who was driving through a town. He had his little van and it was absolutely jam-packed with little lambs, and they were really squashed in very tightly. And someone nearby him had said, mate, what are you doing with all those little lambs squashed into your truck? He said, why don't you take them to a petting zoo? So the guy drove off, and the next day the same bloke saw the small van again with all the lambs inside, and this time all the lambs were wearing sunglasses. And the bloke said, I thought I told you to take them to a petting zoo. And he said, I did, and today we're all going to the beach. So I think of petting zoos when I think of lambs, and I also think of roast. Yeah, sorry, we have the vegan vegetarian section over here. And look, you can be a vegetarian. I used to be a vegetarian. I was for about 2 years, and then I went to a barbecue. And forget it. And I have great respect for vegetarians and vegans, but you know, my personal view is that if God wanted us not to eat meat, he wouldn't have made lambs and chickens taste yummy. So I think of roast, and I'm going to be doing a roast later, and I'm sorry, you're not all invited. But I'll put a picture up on Facebook so you can look at what we enjoyed. But what did people in John's day think of when they heard the word lamb? What does lamb symbolize? In Bible days, the lamb symbolized sacrifice. So the people in Israel would sacrifice a lamb for their sins, for their mistakes, for their failures. And so it would go something like this. They would find a lamb. It would have to be an unblemished, undefiled lamb, and they would bring it to the priest, And then the people that were making the sacrifice would lay their hands on the lamb as a symbol of transferring their sins, their failures, their mistakes, their shortcomings from themselves to the lamb. And then the priest would sacrifice the lamb. And that was good for a year, so that their sins were dealt with or covered, as it were, for 1 year. We have a modern saying that talks about someone being a sacrificial lamb. It's still in our language today, and it's based back in Old Testament Bible times, 3,000-4,000 years ago. A sacrificial lamb these days is a metaphorical reference to a person or an animal that sacrificed for the common good. It has the meaning of someone being blamed for the wrong done by another, and we see it on a regular basis in our society where someone takes the rap for somebody else. They become the sacrificial lamb or the scapegoat. We refer to people like that as the fall guy or the whipping boy or the straw man or a stooge or a patsy. All of those are synonyms. The farmers in the Amazon basin do something very similar to that. And this is a true story, not a joke, just so you know. When they're herding cattle around South America, particularly around the Amazon basin, if they get to a river where they suspect that there are piranhas, they will find one of the weaker or sicker members of their herd, and they will literally put that one to death and throw it downstream into the river, which draws all the piranhas drowned downstream, and then they're able to cross with their herd in safety. That one becomes the sacrifice, takes the rap to keep all of the others safe. And so let's apply this to Jesus. Why was Jesus a lamb? Why did John the Baptist say when Jesus came toward him on that day, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? The Bible makes it clear that the blood of animals was only a temporary measure to deal with human imperfection. It's like putting Band-Aids on measles spots. Only a perfect human being could permanently deal with and erase human sin and imperfection. The writer to the book of Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 5 and 6. When Christ came to the world, he said to God, "You do not want animals killed or gifts given in worship. You have made my body ready as a gift." Jesus recognized that his body was going to be a gift to be laid down in sacrifice for the entire human race. It goes on, he says, "You are not pleased with animals that have been killed or burned and given as gifts on the altar to take away sins." In other words, Jesus was to be the ultimate sacrificial Lamb of God who would give his life to take away the sins of the entire world, including yours, including mine. And that's what we celebrate on Good Friday. And that is why Good Friday is good. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Isn't that great news? Let's bow in prayer together, shall we?